Hello and welcome to The Forum. My guest on this weekend's show is Patrick Murphy, superintendent of the Mount Olive School District. Welcome to the show, Superintendent Murphy.
Thank you.
We are going to discuss something today called virtual classrooms. And the word virtual, well, it's sort of become an everyday word since the days of COVID, I believe. But this really has nothing to do with virtual classrooms because of COVID. But they are something that's very interesting, and I think probably be of much benefit to the schools in and around the WSMI listening area. And if you would you explain what the virtual classrooms are going to be and sort of how they got their start?
What a virtual classroom is where we're going to be putting up four monitors within the classrooms on each of the four walls, as well as cameras, as well as microphones. And a virtual classroom then becomes where we could be teaching English in Mount Olive, and people in Staunton, students in Staunton, could be watching the class and be there virtually. And where that gets unique is that those students can in Staunton can ask questions because it's live, can ask questions, and the teacher in Mount Olive could sit and actually observe the students in Staunton and be able to answer those questions live, watch the students live, and demonstrate of all those things. So this is a unique virtual classrooms is something new that most of the schools in this area have signed up for just recently, and now we're starting to install those virtual classrooms as we speak. They are installing those virtual classrooms, so we'll be able to use those in our curriculum next fall. Some of the schools that are using this new technology are Litchfield, Hillsborough, Carlinville, Gillespie, Staunton, Bunker Hill, Mount Olive, just to name a few, Raymond Lincolnwood, just to say a few. So we're very excited about being able to share our curriculums and through these new virtual classrooms.
This is something also that is connected to, I believe, a federal grant, and also is Blackburn College is also involved as well, correct?
That is correct. And it is a federal grant that we received, and the participating schools have to pay 15% and the matching federal grant up to 85%. So it gives us more technology, more to reach out so we can have more connectivity with other schools in our area. Blackburn absolutely is. Blackburn's the host of this. So you had to have one host, and Blackburn College is the host. So when we do write our checks, we write them to Blackburn College, who then writes them to the federal government. So Blackburn College is also a very big part of this, and we're very happy that Blackburn College is working with us to get this accomplished.
What about the sustainability of it? How will it go in the future? You know, we get the equipment set up, things are going. How does it continue to move forward, or has that not really been gone into in depth yet?
No, it absolutely has went into depth. And there's some... there is a software service that we get the first 3 years for as part of the package, and then after that there is a small fee. But it's such a large area of schools that are connected to this. University of Illinois, the schools, both colleges and high schools, University of Illinois is connected. Schools Muhammad Seymour and Champaign, over high schools in Champaign. So it's a very large group of schools that really makes it exciting of all the different curriculum choices that we could share with each other in those areas. But to get back to your question, the initial cost covers the first 3 years of this service.
As far as you were explaining that students in Mount Olive could watch a classroom, say, going on in Carlinville or vice versa or things like that, will this be utilized, say, a student is particularly interested in a field of study, and maybe those classes, as we've discussed before, may not be available at the high school, and therefore they can pick it up as part of their high school curriculum?
Absolutely. And what's special about a virtual classroom, it's not just watch, it's participate. They get to ask questions to the professor, the instructor from Champaign, and the instructor immediately will respond to them if they're in the virtual classroom. So it's a super exciting opportunity. So if we have a child in Mount Olive who's interested in psychology, and Mount Olive does not have a psychology teacher, but now we can look on the curriculum mapping of all the different schools that offer this through virtual classrooms and provide that student the opportunity to participate and learn a psychology class.
Will this also include, like high schools around here have it, dual credit courses? Will that kind of thing be available as well?
And it's probably the most exciting part that we're always trying to provide our students the opportunity for dual credit classes. So right here in Mount Olive, we're currently in our southwestern Macoupin County Consortium with Staunton, and we share curriculum opportunities. We have 12 Staunton students who are currently taking a dual credit English class with Mount Olive. Because of the pandemic this year, it's been remote learning. Next year, we envision it to be virtual learning. So the kids in Staunton will be able to go sit down in their virtual classroom. At the same time, our English teacher is teaching the dual credit English class with our students present in the virtual classroom, and we can provide that dual credit opportunity to both Staunton and Mount Olive students at the same time. So this is very exciting. So if a student wants to earn numerous dual credit class opportunity for this through this technology.
Now, something I would have to imagine is, though, I guess staff of any school would have to be working on this rather diligently to see that a student would be able to get the, the core requirements they need for their high school, and yet still have the availability to sign up for, say, whatever class it may be that they want to take through the virtual classroom. So it will be a little bit of work, too, right?
Oh, absolutely. There's requirements that the state requires: 4 years of English, 3 years of math, and so on, and 2 years of social studies. Those prerequisites are still always the first thing that we have to get accomplished with our students to make sure they meet the requirements to get a diploma, and we'll continue to do that. But yes, and it will make curriculum challenges maybe more challenging that we have. When you sit down, we only have 7 hours in a day, and if we have 12 different kids wanting to take 12 different subject areas during hours, we don't have that availability because we're going to have one classroom. So we'll have challenges to that effect too. But it's just another exciting opportunity for our kids. Another level that I see on here, and I get emails daily now, because they know we're part of this new network, there's school districts. I received an email last week. Our school district has lost their math teacher. Is there anyone who could start virtually teaching math to our kids this year for the remainder of the year? Another email that I received just yesterday said, here are the course options that we're looking for next year. Ag, foods class. And there's these schools out there looking to try to partner up with other schools. And where in the past, even with us, with South Macoupin Co-op, we're partnering up with schools who are close by because we were worried about travel. Now we could be partnering up with schools in Iowa or Wisconsin who have similarities, strategies, uniqueness that want to work with this virtual classroom to share these services to meet the needs of our kids.
I guess maybe this might pertain more to those who are in college, but this probably could help too as far as, oh gosh, I need one more course in, as you say, English or math or something like that, and it wasn't available this semester at this high school, then maybe somebody could get that class that they need, say, even for graduation, correct?
And that's absolutely the truth. So a child needs an extra class, and their time frame may be different as well. As this expands, what's even be great about that is a child, our school day ends at 2 o'clock, but California schools still have 2 hours to go, and if there's a virtual classroom going on in California, in theory, those children could sit down at the virtual classroom at 3 in the afternoon and take a class from 3 to 4, which meets the same time frame as a different time zone.
You alluded to earlier about the Southern Macoupin Consortium, and I was wanting to ask, we had done some discussions of that, and it was something that came about before COVID, but really never got totally going because of COVID and what all went on with that. But what does this do to the Southern Consortium, or how sort of is that going to be integrated?
Well, one of our biggest restraints going into this year was proximity. So what we did this first year was Staunton and Mount Olive teamed up, Gillespie and Carlinville teamed up, Southwestern and Bunker Hill teamed up for proximity purposes. And I've shared with you the services that Mount Olive and Staunton are sharing. Now this will open the door because it takes proximity, less it's not such an issue, because if we're all having second hour class starts at 8:51 in the morning, that is going to be in the virtual classroom. As many seats as we have available could be opened up then for those classes that are in need. The dual credit, if there's a dual credit Spanish teacher in Gillespie, which I believe there is, the hour they're teaching that, we could provide that to our students and dual credit could be provided. If the dual credit in Mount Olive is at this hour. So it's going to open the door, and so we're very excited about that as well.
And one other question just concerning the academic side of it would be, I guess this is all going to be integrated with state rules and so forth that, you know, oh yeah, this class from whatever school is on the virtual meets the state requirement for what the high school is, say, in Mount Olive, correct?
Absolutely, it will. And just something else that I haven't mentioned that I would be amiss to not talk about real quick is we also have a portable classroom. And something else that our virtual classrooms are going to provide is there will be opportunities for field trips where you don't have to leave your school, such as the Capitol, the Washington, D.C., the Capitol in Washington, D.C. There will be a virtual field trips lined up where a person goes and has got the camera and is talking to the crowd, and they're going on a virtual field trip through the Capitol with classrooms, and then they can ask questions to classrooms. So it's not just watching a video about the U.S. Capitol. It's the guy, you have a presenter talking about the U.S. Capitol. Stop, turn to the camera, answer your questions from the virtual classrooms, and then continue. So we're very excited about the field trip opportunities that we can provide here at school, that now with our virtual classroom, we can go to the zoo and have someone follow along and then ask questions about the zoo animals. So there's going to be very much opportunities for all grade levels, not just high school, but even down to our primary and our junior high, so we can have virtual field trips of all the different exciting that we would never be able to afford to go or see, but and then actually have an educator discuss that with our students in our virtual classroom.
And I guess I don't even want to bring it up, but I guess once this is all going and in place, should we have something like COVID again hit us, I guess it would make remote learning, as we learned that topic pretty quick after COVID hit, I guess it would make it a little simpler to get everything done, would it not?
It would. In theory, it would, especially when we're talking a variety of areas that now with the teachers in the virtual classroom, you know, it gives them that opportunity. But if the kids could come in, there still would be problems if we could not bring all the students into our school to the class. You know, then they'd have to be remotely where each child has their own device and online, and that'd be a difference of what we're at. But yet when we can bring all the kids within to the one classroom and the teacher into the classroom, it'll be a great asset to all the schools in our area. So, again, I know Becky Shookman from Carlinville was one of the leaders to push this, to get this accomplished. So I also want to thank. She's done a wonderful job in making sure, as well as Blackburn College, to make sure this is getting to the point now where we're getting the equipment installed and the software set up, and we're going to have this up and running within the next 2 months.
And that will be at predominantly most of the schools within the next 2 months. It'll be ready to go, and for sure, it sounds like it'll be really ready to go for the next school year.
That is correct. We hope we'll be taking full advantage of it by this fall.
Superintendent Murphy, I'd like to thank you for joining us on the Forum program this weekend.
Thank you.
And you can join us again next weekend for another edition. For WSMI, I'm Rick Davis.